So you've got a friend. How many friends do you have in this church? Since it's annual meeting day after the service, it's always at this time of year, I think, more than usual about who we are as a community and how we relate to each other, what we're doing here, and what it's like for you to be part of this church. I think anyone who's ever tried a new church comes with one basic question. Do I belong here? There may be some sub-questions like, do I agree with the philosophy? Do I want to learn more about it? But mainly, do I fit in? Are these people like me? Am I like them? You all must have answered yes, or at least you're still reserving judgment. You must get something out of it to give up a part of your weekend and get up and get dressed and drive here. You not only get something, you get to give something. A church is not a building, it's a body of people. The word church means those called out. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul compared a church, the people of a church, to a physical body. A hand, a foot, an ear. Each person is different but necessary to the whole. Each person brings gifts. In this church, most of you give money, most of you give service as volunteers, and a church runs on volunteers. But even if it's your first time here, you bring your essence. And that's how we grow. It's not just the number of people who walk through the door. It's how much of ourselves we are giving. And frankly, how much fun we're having. And what makes it fun? You might like the message. Certainly you love the music and there's a great view. But the real fun is in the other people. Which brings me to friendship. How many friends do you have in this church? Do you have a best friend at church? Maybe not your all-time lifelong best friend, but a best friend at church. Did you know that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their work? They have fewer accidents, they're better with customers, they're more creative, they share new ideas. The research we have on friendship is based on work, but I would say church is not much different. We're here with common goals, both personal and as an organization. Like work, just being here together gives us something in common. And like work, you can't choose everyone else who comes here. Some of the people will bug you. So I don't hesitate to transfer the research done in the workplace to the church. And interestingly enough, the best-known research on friendship at work was done by Tom Rath, who wrote the book we used called Strength Finders. I never know where the S goes. Strength Finders. He also wrote the book called How Full Is Your Bucket that we talked about in our workshops. It's about how we treat other people. His research shows that the quality of friendships you have in your life is the best predictor of your daily happiness and life satisfaction. And it is hugely important to your physical health and longevity. So, especially because a number of you are no longer working, or you work alone or with just a few other people, or you work virtually, make some friends at church. Go for that happiness and longevity. People with at least 3 close friends at work, and I would think church, are 88% more likely to be satisfied with their whole life, not just the church experience. Their whole life is happier. Did you know friends are that important? I mean, we kind of know that, but now we know that. And this may be a clue to why you get up and get dressed and drive to church every Sunday. I've heard some people in churches say they don't really care who the minister is. They come to church to see their friends. Sometimes, you all don't do this, but it happened in Dallas, they would just stay in fellowship hall and drink coffee and talk through the whole service. My feelings were not hurt. I wanted them to have their experience. And actually, coffee and food foster friendship. At work, it's called the water cooler effect. You're more likely to have a close-knit group if the physical space makes it easy to socialize. And we have that kind of space here. But notice this. The Sunday service is usually not where you make friends, no matter how much hugging we do. Most of the time, you're sitting in straight rows listening to somebody talk. It's not the same as socializing. That's why it's important to participate in the potlucks and the workshops and the congregational meetings like the one today, places you can talk to each other. So if you've been feeling left out, thinking you don't have any friends at church, let me invite you to do something besides the Sunday morning service or in addition to the Sunday morning service. Come to some other event or volunteer. That wildlife crew that works the land, they're tight. The people who teach the kids on Sundays have a mutual admiration society with each other. If you have fried turkeys together, you're friends. Actually, the turkey dinner we had before Christmas is a good example of the water cooler effect. Did you notice that after we ate, nobody wanted to go home? That's the kind of socializing we get to do. People talked for a long time. Every Sunday, I stand at the back door like a good minister to greet you as you leave, and you don't leave. You turn to each other and you talk in little groups, which I think is very healthy. Now, some people will complain about cliques. Cliques are groups of friends who were once strangers. When you see little groups of people talking, remember they probably walked through the door feeling just as alone and uncertain as any other newcomer. But they made friends. So let's talk about newcomers for a minute, because everything we do gets passed through the newcomer filter in our imagination. We guess how newcomers will react to us. Just this week, I had an email exchange with somebody about the peace song. We're not singing the peace song every week. We haven't left it behind. We're singing it today. But this person who emailed me said he was sure that newcomers love to join hands and sing at the end of the service. And I emailed back and said, really? Because the ones I talk to say it gives them the willies. They're new in the church and they have to hold hands with strangers and sing and then lift up their arms. Visitors also have strong preferences about how much fuss they want made over them. Some expect to be recognized as new, greeted, hosted, given a tour, honored in the service. But you know a lot of others won't even raise their hands when we greet the visitors. And I was one of those. In my early church days, if I'd had a cloak of invisibility, I would have worn it. So what I'm saying is that making friends works both ways. I hope we are friendly to newcomers. Please try to spot them and say hello. And if it turns out they're not new, you're still meeting somebody you didn't know. But it's also quite acceptable, if you're new, to walk up to one of those little groups and say, hi, this is my first time here. Believe me, you will be regaled with stories about this church and questions about where you came from and how you found unity. One of the things we have in common is that nearly everyone came to unity from someplace else. That can always be your first question. So, how did you get to unity? There's always a story. We have some mechanisms for making friends. The men's breakfast, there's a women's group forming, classes, the book study I'm doing next month. Just be careful who you hang out with. Tom Rath's research shows that if your best friend has a healthy diet, for instance, you are 5 times more likely to have a healthy diet. If your best friend wants to jump off a cliff, there you go. Really, even as adults, peer pressure is not dead, and it's not always a bad thing. I've also heard this about money. Look at what your 5 best friends make, and chances are your income is in that same category. You become like the people you hang out with. Friends rub off on each other. So notice at church whether you're spending time with happy, creative, engaged people, or maybe you have stumbled into a group of grumblers. Not in this church, but in some churches, people grumble. I mean, do you find this to be true, that your friends have an influence on you? Even if they don't say a word about it, even if they're not pressuring you, I don't think I could eat a steak in front of Scott Price. When I see Scott, I want to eat more kale. And see, he's Mr. Whole Foods. That makes him happy. So here's another interesting thing about friendship. There are different kinds of friends, and you know that, but Tom Rath has categorized them. And because the research shows that it is so overwhelmingly better to have friends than not, you might consider who your friends are at church and what roles they play. Tom Rath has listed 8 kinds of friends, and it's interesting how the roles that friends play align with their strengths. A lot of us took the StrengthsFinder survey last year. So just I can use myself as an example. I think I'm a pretty good friend to have. I've told you about some other things. I'm not a good role model, but I think I'm a pretty good friend, or at least a type of friend. I am still not the one who will put a cool cloth on your forehead when you're sick. Empathy turned out not to be one of my top strengths. Mine are learner connectedness, intellection, input, and ideation. I think, therefore I am. So if you come to me with a problem, I won't say, there, there, dear, but I can give you the latest research about that problem. I can give you a list of books to read about that problem, and I can tell you how we're all one. And this problem has been with the human race since the dawn of consciousness. I'm amazed how people are not comforted by that. I have different types of friends. I have friends I call when I want sympathy and friends I call when I'm ready to move on. So let me tell you these 8 types of friends. I'm giving you the latest research. And see if you can identify these at church or somewhere in your life. Listen for the kinds of friends you have, but also the kind of friend you are. There's the builder, motivates you, helps you see your strengths, encourages you, cheers from the sidelines. A builder helps in your development. A champion stands up for you, praises you to everyone they know, defends you when you're not around. Loves to see you succeed and brags on you. A champion has your back. A companion is the friend who's always there for you. It's an unbreakable bond. This is the first person you call if something big happens in your life, good or bad. A collaborator, these are friends with similar interests, books, movies, hobbies, sports. These would be work friends or church friends. So if you want to make friends at church, just start here. Notice that you're both here. Just that gives you something in common. Connector, these are the friends who get to know you and then connect you with other people you might like. They can find whatever you need, from a new doctor to a blind date. It's just natural for them. So just a personal note about these last two, the collaborator and connector. People who share common interests and those who link me to others. Increasingly for me, that's happening online. The internet is made for people with common interests to find each other and refer each other to books and movies and doctors and even spirituality. That's what social media is all about. It's what niche marketing is all about. So when I started thinking about my collaborator and connector friends, there are several that are only online. I've never met them, but they matter in my life. For that matter, a lot of builders are online, helping develop people in different areas. They're the ones who teach courses by phone or video. And they feel like friends, even when you've never met. The companion, the one you can call at 3 in the morning, is probably not online, but not necessarily in the same town. So 3 more kinds of friends. The energizer, this is the friend you call when you need a laugh. They always lift your mood. The mind opener stretches your point of view. A lot of mind opening friends in unity. They introduce you to new ideas, they expand your vision, change your life in a good way, and you discover new aspects about yourself. And then the navigator. These are the counselors, these are the friends you go to for advice. They help you find your path. All kinds of friends. I'm grateful for all of them. The thing to remember is that one person probably will not play all 8 of these roles in your life, even if you're married to them. And if you think you don't have any friends at church, run through that list. You may not have your 3 a.m. companion friend within the church, but I bet there are some who expand your mind or give advice or cheer your success. We have a lot of people willing to do that. The word friend is a verb now, thanks to Facebook. You can friend someone or unfriend someone. Unfriending is kind of like giving up on the relationship or admitting you never cared about them in the first place. I've been in long discussions about whether to accept any friendship request on Facebook or only those from people I know and want to read about. And life is like that. Do you want a lot of casual friends? A few close friends. Do you expect your friends to play all 8 roles or most of them? Or is it okay with you if you connect with someone in just 1 or 2 ways? Are they still a friend? They're not going to be perfect. Neither are you. Where 2 or more are gathered, there is a likelihood of conflict. That happens at church too. And the only reason it's such a big deal is because people expect church to be different. But I can tell you from years of experience that people come to church as the people they are. And actually, because church is a safe place, they may be more of themselves here. More open, more themselves, and that might reveal more baggage. But it also lets out more light. And that's what we look for in each other, the light. That divine light we know is there, even on days it's hard to see. I've known a few people who said they don't need any more friends. They're already too busy. It's okay with them if church is not a social place. Okay, but I think friendships are a spiritual practice. They draw out love and growth and gifts from us. They require giving and receiving. They can be challenging, but they can be soul nourishing. And now we have scientific research to show you will be a lot happier and live a lot longer if you've got a friend. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath. And breathe into that space. The smile you may feel. That you're still holding, thinking about your friends in this community. And perhaps you've brought to mind all of those people in your life that reflect the 8 different types of friends mentioned. And gather them all. Visualize yourself just sweeping your arms around them, pulling them into your heart, and envision them as a circle. Gathered, holding hands, and then look to the center of that circle. And find yourself in the middle. And as you look around the circle of your friends, you recognize that each one of them is reflecting to you of magnificent quality that resides in your heart. And then imagine yourself embracing that deepest part, that unconditionally loving space that resides inside of you. And greet that friend. With your arms open as wide and then wider and then even wider than they have ever been. Greet that friend that has your name, the name that you were given, the name you use every day, with a smile with an enormous hug. And then let that friend that has your name, that has your heart and your soul, greet that circle, letting your light grow, beyond that circle, out into this Unity Church community, into the community of Wimberley, and out beyond and beyond and beyond. You are that friend that touches the world in such a magnificent, beautiful way. Yourself to feel the gratitude for being in this time, in this place right now, with such a capacity to bring so much good to the friend you call yourself, and every friend with a different name. And with that gratitude swelling, just breathe it in and breathe it in deeper and let it out with our hallelujah.